San Diego Center for Spiritual Living, Sunday, June 25th. Today's lesson is Care of the Soul with Reverend Dr. Constance Cook Core. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome home. Welcome home to where we care for not just each other, but ourselves. Self-care. That's our theme for June, is embracing self-care. And so today we're going to be talking about the care of the soul. So let's anchor ourselves in. There is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence which flows through all creation. And I call this God, the living spirit almighty. One, indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. Our body, mind, and soul is one with this divine creation. And so it is. I want to start out with a quote. William Longstaff said, "Take time to be holy, be calm in thy soul." Take time to be holy, be calm in thy soul. And what is that telling us? To take time to be holy. It's telling us to take time to recognize and appreciate our divine source. That which is within us, our soul, some people call it, our spirit, others call it, our divine essence that animates this body we walk around in. Take time to remember that we are holy. We were created in sacred material, in the very source of God. Everything we are is made up of divine stuff. Again, because in the infinitude of the divine, there can never be anything else. The divine could only create from what it already had, was itself. So yeah, we're all divine. Yay! So when we say care of the soul, what we're really saying is care of that true essence of who we are. And it's that true essence of who we are that controls everything on the outside, every experience. It controls our body. It controls what we think about subconsciously. We get to, because of free will, we get to consciously choose what we want to give our attention to. And so it is meritorious for us to give our attention to that which is good, that which is holy, that which is loving, that which is kind. For all of these things are in our own divine nature. These are the things that we're made up of. And we should know this. We should know it completely, every single day. And the only reason we don't is because of all the things we've learned over our lives. Different people telling us what's right and what's wrong. Different people telling us what to believe, not, and what to think, not how to think. And they tell all that stuff to us, and we simply absorb it, because at the time we are being told, we do not consciously know better. Today, those of us who are here consciously know better. We know that just because our kindergarten teacher said it doesn't make it true. After all, when I was going to kindergarten, they told me I could have a pint of milk for a nickel. Can't do that anymore. So, embracing self-care is our theme. And I want to remind us, I believe I've been mentioning this every week, self-care is not selfish. Selfishness is when we are seeking personal benefit or personal advantage with complete disregard for all others. Self-care is self-preservation. It's where we are caring for our own physical, emotional, mental, financial, and spiritual needs, yet at the same time harming no one else. What is ours to be is ours to be. And it never, ever takes anything away from anyone else. Everyone has free choice, free will. We get to choose how to show up in our lives. And when we attend Science of Mind and New Thought centers and classes and services, we are given tools to help us in our own personal journey, and to help us as we go through this journey of life with others around us. For instance, Season for Nonviolence. We do the Season for Nonviolence in the first part of the year, January 30th to April 4th. And one of the things we do is we have our congregational pledge, which basically says, I'm not going to run around punching people for this period of time. Well, no, it actually says more. It says we don't sanction violence. Violence comes in many forms. It comes in images. It comes in words. It comes in thoughts. It comes in thoughtless behavior. And so we are not going to participate in anything violent. And we're going to go out of our way to be a peaceful presence during that time. Actually, we can do it all year. And I try to do it all year. I know most of us do try to do it all year. But it's not like when you take a driver's test and there's somebody in the car with you all the time saying, excuse me, you got to put your indicator on 100 feet before the corner. Or 150 feet before the corner. And yet at the same time there is. Because there is that higher knowing within you, that divine center within you, your intuition, that is sitting there saying, do not hit that person. Do not cut that person off in traffic. You don't want somebody else to do it to you. Don't do it to other people. Just because somebody else did do it to you, you don't have to respond in a like manner. Do you know that's one of the things that creates more violent situations than any other? Somebody starts something and the other person engages them. Somebody can start something time and time and time again. We don't have to choose to engage. Now, there are times we can't walk away immediately, but we can do what we can to protect ourselves to the point where we can restrain another person. We don't have to go full out and beat the crap out of them. So where's all this coming from on care of the soul? We have within us that divine knowing of what is good and what is sacred, what is holy. Our 2023 theme here at the center is living life holy. And it's through our conscious and intentional self-care that we're able to live life holy. We can live life in a complete and sacred manner that not only serves us, but serves others by our words, our deeds, and dedication to being a radiant beacon of love and faith. Gary Zukav wrote a book called The Seed of the Soul. And on page 172, he writes, "The consciousness of a great soul is symbolic of larger consciousness, the macro consciousness that holds the same values and fears and guilts. That macro consciousness might be the collective consciousness of the United States, of the Soviet Union, or Ethiopia. The many souls that form that collective are in continual dialogue with its own. The great soul is the person who has taken on the task of change. If he or she is able to transcend fear, to act out of courage, the whole of its group will benefit, and each one in his or her own life will be suddenly more courageous, though they may not see how or why." On page 94, he kind of goes into how and why this can happen. He says, "You are a system of light, as are all beings. The frequency of your light depends upon your consciousness. When you shift the level of your consciousness, you shift the frequency of your light. If you choose to forgive someone who has wronged you, for example, rather than to hate that person, you shift the frequency of your light. If you choose to feel affection or kinship with a person rather than distance or coldness, you shift the frequency of your light. Everything is energy and everything is related. It's that we are all one." And I mentioned before, they've done studies about violence in towns or cities. And they will take a group of 100 people to pray, and they'll send them to that city for 30 days. And they will pray for peace and harmony and goodness in that city for 30 days. And during that 30 days, crime and violence statistics drop. They drop. Then the prayer people leave. They go to another city. And over time, the crime and violence begins to increase again. But it's proof that there's power in the word. There's power in being together in consciousness, in being in group spiritual practice of prayer, of holding the light, of seeing the good, of caring for not just their own souls, but the souls of everyone in that community. Too bad we can't call them up and have them do that, for Grubhub. Send me peace. I want peace this evening. Well, actually, we can. but we do it on the inside. Or there are prayer lines that you can call the prayer line and they will pray with you. Silent Unity is the most powerful prayer organization that I have ever come across. And they're free. You just call up the Silent Unity prayer line and you get the equivalent of a practitioner praying for you, doing affirmative prayer for you. Now, Unity uses terms of Christianity much more than religious science does. But when you listen to what the prayers are, they are all affirmative prayer. They are not saying, "Oh dear God, please, if you are in the mood." No. It's, "Hey, you know what? Words have power. Truth has power. I'm speaking my truth right here, right now, because I know it's true, and I'm making my demand on the universe. I demand peace, and I demand it now." One of the quotes that Noble gave us this morning is, "Just let all cares of yesterday flow and all the burdens go with them." All the cares of yesterday flow and all the burdens go with them. Did you realize that every time you start giving your attention to something negative, what you're doing is lowering your frequency and increasing your burden, increasing the effort, the consciousness that it will, increasing the lower frequency so that in order to rise above it is a greater burden. Burden being a relative word. It's like if I've got all my baggage with me from all of my life that I've lived so far, I could fill this room and beyond. When I let go, I can walk out the door and not have to pay attention to all the baggage and where it fits and where it doesn't fit. And, oh gosh, you know, I didn't want to think about that red dress today, but here I am thinking about that red dress. No, let go of all things. Joel S. Goldsmith wrote one of my favorite books, Practicing the Presence, and of course it is also a textbook. And he talks about spiritual consciousness. He writes, "The secret of harmonious living is the development of spiritual consciousness. In that consciousness, fear and anxiety disappear, and life becomes meaningful with fulfillment as its keynote. The degree of spiritual consciousness which we attain can be measured by the extent to which we relinquish our dependence on the external world of form and place our faith and confidence in something greater than ourselves, in the infinite invisible, which can surmount any and every obstacle. It is an awareness of the grace of God." Joel Goldsmith also says, you know, there's a specific practice for how to do this. And I thought, ooh, cool, another spiritual practice. Yeah, let me hear what it is. And of course, when we hear it, it's like, oh yeah, I knew that. Let me practice it. What he says is, whenever we think we need something, or we want something, or we desire something, anything, could be lunch, could be a new tube of toothpaste, whatever, say to ourselves, no, no, This is not what I need or want. Thy grace is my sufficiency. Nothing else. Not money, not marbles, only thy grace. Thy grace is my sufficiency. What other author do we know that always talks about God being spirit, being our source, substance, and supply? John Randolph Price, especially in the Abundance book. That's one of the things that we know is there is no outside source for anything. There is nothing made from outside stuff. Everything that we desire comes in, as, and through the divine. So all we need to do is one of these: seek first the kingdom of God, and all things shall be added to you. Remember that it's not the things around us. It's the center of us. We are the wholeness of the divine. Now, this is really a cool thing. It also needs to go from our head to our heart. Has to go from the head to the heart, because I can think this and logically know it all night long. And then I can say, well, I'm hungry, and look around and go, there's nothing good to eat. I have nothing to wear. What are we doing when we say these things? We are reinforcing a belief in lack, a belief in loss. We aren't remembering that, nope, doesn't matter what I wear, doesn't matter what I eat, God is my sufficiency in all things. All I need is God's grace. And everything that I truly need is already provided. The grace gives me the eyes to see it. Goldsmith writes, let us steadfastly acknowledge that our only need is his grace. Our work may require greater strength, greater knowledge, or greater ability than we seem to possess, or there may be greater demands made upon our purse than we can meet. Instead of accepting this apparent lack, let us remember, he performeth the thing that is appointed for me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Biblical. God performs the things that I'm supposed to do. God will perfect any situation that I'm in. The human belief may be that there is a physical, mental, moral, or financial demand made upon us greater than our ability to fulfill. But the very moment we turn to that He, that divine that is within us, recognizing that He performs that which is given us to do, He perfects He performs that which he's given us to do. He perfects that which concerns us. A weight drops off our shoulders, and the sense of personal responsibility lifts. All of a sudden, we are given the necessary ability, which we discover is not our ability at all. It is his ability being expressed through us. Out of our weakness comes strength, but not our strength, his strength. And we perform the work through his strength. If it is rest that we need, we turn to Scripture and find, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What are we saying? We're saying that the only thing holding us back is us. And yet, it seems like magic to say, oh, well, there's this magic guy within me that has all the strength in the world and will do everything for me, will be my power, will be my word, will be my protection. And as long as we think of it as other, another he, another that energy, then we will struggle with embracing our true nature, with truly caring for our soul that is within us. Joel writes, gradually, as over and over again, the temptation comes to say, I need, I want, I haven't enough, I am insufficient. We remember that our sufficiency is in the infinite invisible. This practice deepens spiritual consciousness. Think about what you're thinking about. Sometimes when we think about what we're thinking about, it's like, whoa, was I really thinking that? That snuck up on me. That's why we pay attention. Not to all the stuff going on around the outside, but the stuff going on the inside. In the Bible, John 5:19. Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. Jesus is telling us right there, guys, you aren't doing a thing. God is doing it through you. The Father is doing it through you. So don't pat yourself on the back here. Just open your full heart in acceptance of the all good. Because the all good is your sufficiency. The all sufficiency provides all that we believe it provides. Provides all that we believe it provides. Care for your soul, your inner being, by knowing yesterday is gone, tomorrow will see to itself, and right here and now, God really loves us. And divine grace, the activity of God, is all we need or have ever needed. All we ever needed was the activity of God. All our lives, we are living in the activity of God. It's kind of cool. No matter what, when I was a toddler, I was living in the activity of God. When I was a teenager, honest to God, I was living in the activity of God. No matter what anybody else thought, said, did. And right here and right now, we are all living in the activity of God because there's nothing else. Nothing else. There is love. There is joy. There is power. There is peace. There is awareness. There is intelligence. There is life. And it's us. It's us because it's the activity of God. Reverend Mallory Kretzmann wrote about spiritual consciousness also. She says, the one source of all being, God, or whatever name we are comfortable with, is an invisible something. And we are challenged to believe in it, even though with our five senses, we cannot discern it in any tangible way. Let us consider this passage of Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, 20. Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where it grows rusty and moth-eaten, and thieves break in to steal it. Store up treasures in heaven, where there is no moth or rust to spoil it, no thieves to break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And Reverend Mallory says, where is this alternate storage space to be found? Within our own consciousness. And the treasure, of course, includes a true knowing and intimate experience with the inner presence. Whatever we truly know and realize in consciousness stays with us. This is the treasure. Today, we can be mindful of the inner presence, the true treasure within. So knowing all of this stuff, how are we actually supposed to take care of the soul? Well, through spiritual practice. What are spiritual practices? There's a lot of spiritual practices. They vary based on what organization is presenting them. But basically, you've got meditation, contemplation, reading inspirational material, mindfulness, music and creativity. These are spiritual practices. Prayer or spiritual mind treatment. And words, knowing that the power of your word creates. And of course, keep it in mind, thinking about what you're thinking about. What am I creating? Ernest Holmes is the founder of the religious science movement and the author of the Science of Mind textbook. And he wrote on page 423, what the world needs is spiritual conviction followed by spiritual experience. He says he would rather see a student of this science prove its principle than to have him repeat all the words of wisdom that have ever been uttered. Ernest makes a very important point here. He says it is far easier to teach the truth than it is to practice it. Well, you know, that's true about a lot of things. It's far easier for me to teach math with my lesson plan and everything than for somebody to give me a test and have to go, oh man, which formula? Ernest writes, the practice of truth is personal to each, and in the long run, no one can live our life for us. To each is given what he needs, and the gifts of heaven come alike to all. How shall we use these gifts is all that matters. To hold one's thoughts steadfastly to the constructive, to that which endures, and to the truth may not be easy in a rapidly changing world, but to the one who makes the attempt, much is guaranteed. The one who makes the attempt. And that's what we do, is we are practicing, using spiritual practice. On page 185, he says, to daily meditate on the perfect life and to embody the great ideal is a royal road to freedom, to that peace which passes understanding and is happiness to the soul of man. Let us learn to see as God must, with a perfect vision. Let us seek the good and the true and believe in them with our whole heart, even though every man we meet is filled with suffering and limitation appears at all sides. We cannot afford to believe in imperfection for a single second. To do so is to doubt God. Let me repeat Ernest in powerful words. We cannot afford to believe in imperfection for a single second. To do so is to doubt God. I knew that. I knew that. Reverend Patsy Cantrell says, think of the silence as the springboard of creation. Here the divine moves into incarnation. All that God is comes to a point in you as an individual. The qualities of God released through you become a reality in you, and you become consciously aware of your divine unity. You so merge and become one with the Father, Mother, God that you realize this oneness, and spontaneously you will declare, I am still in the presence of God, the only presence, power, and activity, and God is here at the center of my being as the presence, power, and activity I am now expressing. So place your hand over your heart and repeat after me. I am still in the presence of God.
I am still in the presence of God.
The only presence, power, and activity.
The only presence, power, and activity.
And God is here at the center of my being.
And God is here at the center of my being.
As the presence, power, and activity I am now expressing.
As the presence, power, and activity I am now expressing.
And so it is.
And so it is.
Wow. You just stated a very powerful truth. You are always in the presence of the divine because the divine is you. It's not like you have to go down the hall and go into a room and here's the presence of God. No. The presence of God is every breath you take. It's every thought you think. It's everything you see, everything you hear is the presence of the divine. Mindfulness is an excellent spiritual practice because we can just sit there and look at whatever is and say, this is God in action. And in so doing, we are caring for not only our soul, but the consciousness of those that we come in contact with. When we bring a higher frequency of truth and light into an area, others are lifted up. They don't always realize what's happening to them, but they feel better in your presence. They don't know why. It could be as simple as, well, I find that person non-threatening, okay? What they are sensing is the high frequency, the light, the presence of the divine within you, within your soul, as your soul. Take time to be holy. Be calm in thy soul. And in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, it says, whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. You feel love. You feel the divine. You feel God. You feel spirit. And I know you all feel love because I feel it in this room right here and right now. So thank you for your time, for your attention, and for the magnificent care you take of your own soul expanding. Namaste.
Namaste.